Luke 23 and verse 13, we find the first saying of our Savior from the cross. But for context and for the event that led to that, we're going to read here at Luke 23, verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they led the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. A privilege to bring the message of the gospel today and, of course, to preach the cross. That, I pray, is my goal, always my goal, to preach the cross. As we come to the Easter season, as we think of the history of our Savior's death, how during this week he was arrested, he was tried and sentenced and taken to the cross to be crucified. The horror of it, and yet the wonder of it, because this
is the purpose and the plan of a God of infinite love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it is that life that I want you to know. The life of God in your soul. Eternal life. Jesus promised that he would give water of which if any man drink, he would never thirst. And he was speaking of that eternal life. Now to give us that life, our Lord Jesus gave himself and offered himself unto the Father as a sacrifice for sin. And what we're going to be focusing on today is his prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in that we see the mercy, the infinite mercy of our Lord Jesus, even in the face of wicked, cruel men who nailed our Lord Jesus to that cross, who cursed and blasphemed him. Yet there was mercy. And that shows us the nature of God in Christ, the nature of the purpose of redemption, to show mercy. Will you please listen today to God's word to enjoy his mercy?
Bless be today for joining with us, meeting with us, and we pray that we will be very aware of the touch of the Savior upon our souls and thy voice to our hearts. Lord, let thy word do its work in us. We believe that this is a living word. It is inspired and God-breathed. And we pray that the power of it and the sanctifying influence of it will be as a sweet savor of life in our souls today. Grant that repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit be given. We take the promise of the Holy Spirit for service, for preaching, for the teaching of thy word. And we pray that not only the preacher will have the Spirit's power, but that every hearer will be moved and illuminated and helped today to take thy word to heart. We ask this and pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, as I'm sure you have easily figured it all out, we're taking another opportunity to preach the cross. And of course, that is our greatest of delight, to tell the greatest story, the greatest love story of all the world, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to redeem us. And how shall we learn from this greatest event of world history? Shall we look at the root of it, or shall we look at the fruit of it? The root, of course, is the love of God from all eternity. And that in itself is amazing, that before the world was in order, before we were born, God in his eternal plan loved his people to send his Son in due time that they would be saved. Now the miracle of it, the fruit of it, is that the most filthy, guilty sinner can be saved and made so white, so forgiven, so pardoned, to be made perfect in God's sight, that you and I can be declared righteous, right with God, acceptable to him. This is the amazing power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now this statement of our Savior from the cross, and we find it here in Luke 23 and verse 34, where the Lord Jesus, while hanging there, kneeled to that Roman gibbet, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. There is no greater blessing than to know that your sins are forgiven. Because there's no greater burden than to be under the guilt and the shame, the condemnation of sin. There are souls in hell right now who have missed this blessing of forgiveness. and they will never know it. They will never enjoy it. The unsaved sinner is an unpardoned soul going through life under God's wrath. And then there are Christians in this gathering, and you and I should be jumping up and down because we have this joy of knowing that our sins are gone. They are no more, and they will never again be anymore. They're gone. Indeed, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed them from us. And all of this is possible because our Lord Jesus prayed for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here in this utterance of our Savior is a great lesson about prayer. Christ began his ministry in prayer. He spent nights in prayer. Every task he undertook, he commenced with prayer. And isn't it amazing that of the seven utterances of the Savior on the cross, the first one is a prayer? And he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then add to this fact that the Father always hears the prayer of his Son. And so what the Lord is crying out to the Father to do in this event is answered in time. And when you roll over the events to Pentecost, there were people who stood around this cross or stood at Pilate's gate crying, crucify him, crucify him. There were those who mocked and jeered and blasphemed the Son of God. And because Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, when the gospel was preached by Peter at Pentecost, many were converted. I can't say all were converted, but many were converted, and they were forgiven, enjoying this great gift of the pardon of sins. And so the answer to this prayer was given, and the answer was wonderful. And you know, the Father is still answering the prayers of the Lord Jesus now that he is exalted at his right hand and interceding for us. Now you think of the intercessory prayer ministry of the Lord Jesus, and here in the hour of his extremity in suffering, when he was, humanly speaking, at his weakest, when he was facing the torment of his own pain, yet his mind and his heart, his devotion for his people was paramount. Father! He didn't pray, relieve me of this suffering. He didn't cry, Father, get me down of this cross. But he said, Father, forgive them. What a Savior we have. And you need to know today that there is no sinner too guilty, no one too scarlet, dyed red in the deepest of sins. There is no deed that you've done with your hands. There's no thought that you've thought with your mind. There is no intent of the heart that you have imagined. But the blood of Jesus can forgive you when the Savior prays, Father, forgive them. Now, the death of Christ on this cross is to be viewed four ways. Now, that's not 4 points today. That's just the introduction. Firstly, it's natural, because Jesus had a real body in real time, and he was nailed to that real cross with real hammers and real nails. There is a natural aspect to what happened on that day at the cross. It really happened, and it cannot be denied. It's also unnatural, because our Lord Jesus was completely innocent of everything that he was charged with. This is the most contrary, antagonistic event, because really Jesus should never have been on that cross. He had done no wrong. He had no crimes committed against him. They were souped up charges that led him to the gate of Pilate. Even Pilate found no fault in him. And yet, here he is suffering. How come? Well, we know that it was the eternal purpose of God that wicked men would by their own hands nail him to that cross. So it was natural, it was unnatural, but it was also supernatural, because he laid down his own life voluntarily. He made no resistance, and therefore is often referred to as a lamb laying down his life in as slaughtered. The Lord Jesus died prematurely, not just at the age of 33, but within 3 hours. Well, maybe 6 hours in total. 3 hours of darkness, then there were the hours before noon. But when they came to break his legs, to hasten his death, he was already dead. No man took Jesus' life from him. He offered it up himself. And in that is a supernatural event. It was also supernatural in that he cried, "It is finished." Now, that's actually the sixth saying of the Savior on the cross. But what was finished? Who else but Jesus, the Son of God, could state such a thing? It is finished. What did he possibly mean? This was more than just a natural event. And surely he was referring to the work that he was undertaking as your Redeemer and mine, to bear the weight, the curse of our sins, to make satisfaction to the Father, to drink the cup of wrath dry, and be the Savior of his people. So it was natural, unnatural, supernatural, but it was also eternal, because one death, one blood shedding, one sacrifice forever is of eternal, infinite value. That's the wonder of Jesus' death. It will never need to be repeated again. We do not even need to add to it or enhance it. It's done. It is finished, Jesus cried, and it is eternal. And so mark the significance, the wonder of it all, and recognize your loss if you miss the cross, if you miss its message, if you miss its power in your own life. It is a total loss for your soul. It makes the difference in a man's destiny between heaven or hell. It will make the difference between your everlasting future, whether you are washed in the blood that Jesus shed at the cross, or you have trampled underfoot that blood, despising it and hating it, and thereby cast out for all eternity as a rejecter of the mercy that was displayed at the cross. Lose sight of the victory of Calvary, and you are defeated for all eternity. And so I want us to think of this prayer of the Lord Jesus at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Firstly, I'd like you to notice man's need of forgiveness. Now, those who had a hand in, a physical part, or who were party to crying out, "Crucify him," were the most guilty sinners of all the world. They had just perpetrated the most horrendous sin possible for human beings to make. They slew the Son of God. They brought his life to an end in a deliberate, premeditated murder. And they were guilty. It was an attack on God himself, because this was God's Son. It was an attack on God's truth, because they hated Christ for the words that he preached.
It's an attack on God's righteousness, because these people hated the holy standard that Jesus displayed. And then it is an attack on God's love and mercy. This was God's way of saving men and bringing them to glory. But to reject it and deliberately nail the Savior to the cross, it was a heinous crime. And you know, we were all there. We are all guilty of nailing Christ to the cross. It was my sins, my iniquities, that drove those nails into his hands, and yours as well. And we are guilty of a horrendous crime, and we need God's forgiveness. This prayer of the Lord Jesus highlights the need of forgiveness. This murdering, putting to death the Lord Jesus, was done with shocking bitterness. The cries of "Crucify him," they flowed out of their mouths so freely. There was such a deep-seated hellish hatred in the hearts of men that this cry out, "Crucify him," was deep-seated in their hearts. In the verse 37, you'll see the mockery, and you'll see how they made light of his sufferings, light of his claims, and they said, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." That's mockery. That's a sarcasm. There was Jesus on that cross saving sinners, and these mockers were crying out, "Save thyself." This was a deep-seated resentment. And for all this, the Savior still loved them and still prayed, "Father, forgive them." Not only forgive them the physical cruelty of it, but forgive them for the hatred that's in their hearts. Forgive them for the venom that comes out of their mouths. Forgive them for the very siding of the powers of darkness. "Lord, Father, forgive them all of these sins." But then also forgive them because they were blind to their sin, for they know not what they do. Now, this almost sounds like impossible. They must have known. They must have known. What state of mind were these people in when they cried out against the Savior? They knew his name, they knew his claims, they knew his family, they knew his miracles, they knew his parables, they knew his holy standards, and yet there was a blindness, a stark, raving, benighted darkness that made these men seemingly drunk with rejecting and hating the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus prayed over that as well. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This must cause a great terror even in our hearts. What if there are sins that we're not even aware of? What if there are things, thoughts, intents in our hearts that we are totally blind to? We don't even see them. We don't even understand the depths of what we're doing. In the Old Testament, there was a special provision in the Levitical sacrifices for the sins of ignorance. And there was a special arrangement where a sacrifice would be offered, a lamb or an animal would die, the blood would be shed, with special focus on the sins of ignorance. And what a fearful thing that we could be committing sins of ignorance that need forgiveness. This is a reality. And you might think, "There's no sin in my heart." You might think, "I've never done wrong. I don't hate the Son of God." What if there is sin that you do not even know about? and you need to be forgiven, well, the Lord Jesus will pray for you. The Lord Jesus prays against the sins of omission, the sins of commission, and the sins of ignorance. And the blood of Jesus washes us from all these sins. And so if we are in Christ, we're covered. We are safe in the Lord. We are delivered from those sins that we've confessed, sins that we're conscious of, but also any sin that we don't even know about. Under the blood, pardoned by the prayer of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a great salvation. This is a total.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And after that very solemn message from the Savior's cry on the cross, let's go to 1 John verse 9, which says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are many, many people who base their conversion on their calling on the Lord based on this text in the Bible. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, that's what you need to do. You personally need to confess your sins to the Lord Jesus. And you need to confess that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We're not sweeping them under the carpet. We're not covering anything up. But the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Every sin has to go, and we come trusting and resting in the finished work of the cross. So will you do that today? Get your Bible and go to 1 John 1, 9. The Lord will save your soul. And if I can be of any help, be sure to call. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.